The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell right here on ESPN 97.5. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Lance is in studio. What's going on, Lance?
Well, I'm in studio without a computer. Forgot to bring a computer because I've got one at McCool's house. I've got just get confused doing a show at different places. So I get up here and I'm like, oh crap. I don't have a computer. I don't have my iPad. I don't have anything. So I have to call and wake the wife up and said, let's go. Get up. We got some things to do.
Oh.
By we, I mean you. By things to do, I mean bring me my computer or iPad. But she was already getting up ready to go get a run in anyway, so it didn't matter.
Well, she can run it over then.
That's what I'm saying. But in a car, I want it faster. I don't feel like doing a three-hour show. You know, back in the day, we used to do shows without computers. You just had to be well-read. You had your newspaper. You had your, you know, you read your magazines. You watched your shows.
I was thinking about it the other day, Lance. We had a giant baseball reference book. Remember that thing? You can go. I mean, it was thick. It was huge. And you'd go in there. Every player who ever hit or pitched in baseball history was in that thing. And all their stats. You don't remember that?
Yeah, I vaguely do. Now, I had a laptop pretty early, like within the first year.
You had a laptop. You were the first person I knew with a laptop.
Yeah, Frankie, this guy named Frankie Wong, who had his own.
Frankie Wong had one.
Yeah, well, he owned some type of computer company, and he used my handicapping service, Pigskin Sports, and he paid me with a laptop. He didn't pay me cash. He paid me with a laptop, and I still thought, this is a pretty good deal for me. I got a laptop, and so I was the first one, I think, to have a laptop, have it in studio. That was like felt like a game changer, but you still all your news and sports. There was no 24-hour sports. So, you know, I was thinking about this, John, and I know this is a little bit unfocused as a beginning, but, you know, welcome to the show. But this is true. I was thinking about how, like, so I'm watching the Prince I'm watching the Prince on YouTube yesterday. It's 7 o'clock for the first time, and it's happening for over 3 days. YouTube is going to have this concert that he did at the Carrier Dome, which is incredible. It's from 1985, I believe. It's the Purple Rain Tour, and this is an incredible performance. You've got to see it on YouTube while it's on. They're only going to have it for 3 days. It's on the Prince channel. You can subscribe. You can see it for free, but only for 3 days. And so we're talking about how, you know, all these musicians came out of Minneapolis. Terry Lewis, Jimmy Jam, Morris Day, Prince, just all these guys. And, you know, there was no internet, there was no social media to go viral. Like, all these musicians came from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they had to come up through, the buzz had to really, truly build organically, and it took time, and there wasn't a TikTok video that made someone famous, or a YouTube video where some kids just acts like a dumbass and somehow makes millions, like a Logan Paul or Jake Paul or Ryan Paul or whatever the Pauls are. There was nothing like you had to be. Prince played 6 instruments. There's probably never been anyone more talented from a musical standpoint who did all the different things that Prince did. We were thinking of who it would be, and like Justin Timberlake has done a lot of these different things. Lady Gaga has. Chris Solis brought up Mick Jagger, that he had some of the same similarities and stuff like that. But
McCartney did a lot of things too.
Yeah. Just didn't dance, but as a songwriter playing music and all that, he checked a lot of the boxes. Prince checked a ridiculous amount of boxes. There was one album, he played every instrument of his entire album. Had to lay down multiple tracks and stuff like that. And he was self-taught. Well, and so back then it was truly, this is what you had to do and this is all you knew. And so there was also a supply and demand issue where there was a high demand, but there was a lower supply. So everyone wanted to be the very best, and they had an opportunity. And I was thinking about how it applied to sports. And, you know, now we have so much information at our fingertips that the supply is extraordinarily high, but the demand for certain things on a consumer, on an individual basis, is not going to be as high either. Like, because there's so much and there's so much stuff out there, I'll throw it at you like this. UFC, right? When UFC used to have one card every 3 months, 4 months, man, the supply was lower. Mm-hmm. The demand was high. Now I can see a UFC fight. They just had one.
No,
just
it's the other Wednesdays night. And Saturdays now.
Yeah,
that's what it
I
is.
Mean, it's the supply, and this has been going on for a while. They're just completely, it's just completely saturated. Football, it used to be, look, mm-hmm. you have Sunday, and then you have Monday Night Football, and that's it.
Right.
And for college, it was just Saturday. Now you have football at various times all over the place. And television, if you didn't have your favorite baseball team or basketball team on, dude, you made sure and watch when they were on. And if your team was on nationally, you were absolutely going to watch. SportsCenter was on in the morning, where you had to just wake up so you could see SportsCenter, or keep your ass up late so you could see it late. And now that everything is just so saturated, it just the supply and demand has just gotten it's just completely out of whack, where the supply side is so high that I feel like the demand is just not as strong. So with us, it didn't seem crazy doing a sports talk show with just reading newspapers and reading the magazines every time they came in on a Thursday or Wednesday or whatever time Sports Illustrated came in, the sporting news. It was, you were up to date constantly with the important.
Well, you weren't up to date, but you certainly were as much as possible at that time, because information just didn't flow as fast. And sometimes the paper didn't come, and you'd be like, oh, my gosh, what are we – okay, well, we'll see. We'll just have to wing it when the paper didn't show
up.
Well,
or you could just stop and buy one somewhere.
Well, or yeah. I mean, but if I was waiting for it and it wasn't there, I'd be like, holy crap, I'm just screwed. Well, while you were thinking about that, I was thinking about this. I honestly woke up this morning and said, you know, Joe Exotic is still in prison.
Yeah.
And does anybody care anymore? I mean, that's how fast we fly through stuff. It was the most important, a month and a half ago.
March.
In March, Joe Exotic was the most important thing in the world. And getting him out of prison, I mean, there was even talk President Trump was going to pardon him and everything. And now, I mean, Joe's sitting there going, hey, guys, what about me over here? Oh, it's just about Michael Jordan now? That's it?
Oh.
That's all you guys care about is Michael Jordan now? What about me? I'm still in prison over here.
Now he's just another gay, exotic tiger handler with a murder-for-hire rap on his, you know,
yeah, did you see accusation? That there's... Did you see there's going to be a doc about Siegfried and Roy, speaking about gay tiger handlers?
There's a Siegfried and Roy doc?
Yeah, there's a Siegfried and Roy
doc. Is this going on just because Joe Exotic got big? Did somebody say, hey, if people want gay tiger handlers, let's give them what they want? Like, well, wait a minute.
This is hot.
I don't care about Siegfried.
Gay tiger handlers are hot right
now. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not the genre so much as the story. I don't really care about Siegfried and Roy. Maybe if you tell me that it's really interesting, I'll give it a watch. Joe Exotic was on a different level. You have people with no arms, no legs, the guy with no teeth. There was a lot of no this, no that. Mm-hmm. You have a guy who wore four layers of clothing, including leather jackets, in the middle of Florida heat. Or no, not Florida, Oklahoma heat. I get Oklahoma and Florida mixed up sometimes. Who says he's waiting to get a hot nanny so they can hook up for a threesome? Like,
oh, and,
well, I'm sorry, and why
what
would
did
I not
do?
Be watching this?
And what did he do? That.
That, apparently.
Actually, that's I think it's false. But then she was, though. There was a post-game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they claim
and
like
she
was the
it.
Nanny. But
yeah.
But in a different article, he said that wasn't the nanny.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness.
You're right. Joe Exotic is just, that's, okay, well, you had your time, Joe.
That's it, Joe.
Now the thought of even dressing my kids up like Joe Exotic for Halloween just seems so passe.
Wow, did you see this? A casino, Andy Slater put this out. A casino in Hialeah, Florida tests their updated poker tables. They've got giant plexiglass all the way around, and they've got holes for you to put your hands through so you can't – I don't understand this. And Ian is right. Ian says, well, if they aren't sanitizing the decks and changing the decks every hand, what's the point here? Because you're still touching the cards and the chips.
Yeah, that's fine. Your hands are not allowed to come through until after the poker session's over in 6 hours. So you basically are in shackles while you play.
No. Your hands aren't stuck in there. You can't, like, so you can't touch your face or anything? No. You can pull your hands in and out. But you just, it's like a giant plexiglass of a salad shield.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion to make that place even better? How about this? Between each, you do it where you don't have to sanitize chips and all that stuff, but you get a coronavirus swab test every hand.
Every hand.
They get up into the nose and they dig, get into your
every
brain.
Every hand you get a swab test.
Can you imagine that?
Hey, I went over to Prime yesterday and I played.
So I was going
to
say, I drove by Prime yesterday. As you saw, there's an ungodly amount of construction that's being done.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And it
gosh.
Is a nightmare. It's going to be in that neighborhood for about 2 years.
About 18 years.
Yeah,
goodness.
It's going to be there for 2 years, but just in that particular area, just for, like, I think a month or so.
Oh,
and but there was still a decent amount of cars there yesterday.
Oh, no. They maxed out on their quarter capacity. They were like, okay. So I talked to Brent, and he was like, I said, when are you going to open it up for tournaments? And he said, well, and we were playing 7 to a table, and everybody was spread out nice, and everybody was wearing a mask, and everybody's sanitized. You've got all kinds of sanitizers, and everybody, I sanitized my hands a bunch of times.
You can play 7? I thought you were going to have to go 6.
They went 7. They started 6, and now there's 7. And it's okay, and it's still there's still plenty of room. Everybody spread out, as opposed to 10. So there's a bunch of room.
So take me through when you went in. Like, what was it like when you went in? What do they do?
You as soon as you go in, they take your temperature.
Okay,
and then you slide your card. You go walk through the metal detector, and then you go to your table, and they bring you the chips. And you have your hand sanitizers right there at the tables, and everybody is separated, and everybody's wearing a mask, and everybody's good, and it was very well done. And I know Brent says all the time, we're recycling the chips, and we're steaming them hot, sanitizing them all, and obviously there's money that you're going to get, and it goes through, and that's I don't know what you're going to do about money, but I think. Cash is probably going to be a thing of the past, and
cash
if this continues,
if this thing sticks around, is doing is passing cash. We already know cash is dirty anyway.
Right. So, but it was very, very well done. Everybody has masks. You can't eat at the table. You have to eat at a separate. They're separate. Each table is separated, so they put tarps over the tables in between, and you can eat over there at those tables in between, and it's only a quarter of the people, so everybody is separate. It was very well done, very well done, and I felt safe. It felt it was great. So if you're looking for a place to play, Prime is open and going.
Can you still trash talk through
capacity.
Masks?
Now the next phase they think is going to be 50% capacity, and they'll probably start up the tournaments again.
Mm-hmm. Are they using the VIP room?
They did not use the VIP room.
Because that would be a way.
We were just out in the main room.
That would be a way to give more space
people.
While you're spaced out. You almost, if you want to go 50% capacity, I would imagine they'd have to do that.
Right. I think you'd have to use that then.
Well, good. Well, I'm headed in there soon. I want to wait for tournaments to get back because I'm not a big cash player. I like playing tournaments. Yeah. So I've been waiting for the tournaments to get back. And I've been somebody who's been very, I don't take it lightly at all. I'm very considerate about other people. I don't understand why people get upset about wearing masks when, if you don't think you're going to get it or if you've already had it or whatever, just do that to make other people feel better. It's not going to hurt you. No one's asking you to get a daily nose swab test. I just, hey, if this will make, because A, I don't want it, and B, I don't want other people to get it if I did have it. So,
Excuse me.
Yes.
Are you infringing on my freedoms? Are you attempting to infringe on my freedoms?
By wearing my mask?
Yeah. because I have to look at you and see a commie, and now I feel like America's being taken over by commies.
I did not mean to infringe on your freedoms by wearing a mask, but if you feel that way, I'm sorry that you felt that way.
Well,
it appears as though in society we do get offended awfully easy in society these days.
That sounds like a commie way of approaching things.
Yeah, sure, I did not mean to get you triggered to communism. Del.
Well, he would be a fascist, not a commie. If you're bringing up Germany, they actually hated commies too. They rounded them up too. Don't worry.
Time to talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. That's my guy over there. I don't know. He's not German. He's not. He's not Italian either, like Lance thinks. But Jeff Aronoff is a guy who is going to come. It doesn't matter what nationality he is or what religion. It just doesn't matter. What matters is that you get your marble. You get your granite. You get your countertop on. You get your outdoor kitchen on. You get your outdoor patio. You get your vanities. You get your fireplace. You get everything that Jeff Aronoff can make it just look awesome. You got to redo that whole fireplace. Jeff Aronoff can do that for you. I mean, the marble makes everything look richer, nicer, better. It's just unbelievable. So if you're looking for a great way to improve the value, and you have to do this, people, your home or your business, you have to do this. Otherwise, you know what? And then when you try to sell it, you're like, wait a minute, why come I not get? Because you didn't take care. Because you didn't add. Because you didn't upgrade. And Jeff Aronoff is doing this every day. Find out for yourself. Give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite. Tell him you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Rest in peace, Bob Watson. Bob Watson passed away yesterday. And Bob Watson, a lifer, an Astro, one of the originals, a great guy, very nice guy, and unfortunately he passed away. And Art Howe's not doing well either, as I understand.
Art Howe's got COVID.
He does. He's in ICU right now.
Yeah, Art Howe has COVID.
That was confirmed.
Yeah. By the way, So this has always bothered me. I know it's come up on the show before. And I assume it's kind of bothered you guys. Like, it doesn't seem to, the pieces don't fit. And I finally saw an article that, it wasn't an article, it was a doctor who wrote something in a science blog. So every time I've heard the flu numbers, like, guys, this is similar to the flu. Look at the flu numbers, deaths. And I've always thought, man, this just seems so weird because I've never in my life, my entire life period, I've never heard of anyone dying from the flu. I've just never heard of it. And yet I see these.
Dick Harmon died from the flu.
Dick did?
Yeah.
That was what it was? Okay. Well, then there's one. I don't know. I guess a lot of times it's you don't die from the flu. You die from something that is a complication from the flu. Right? That's technically still the same thing.
Yes.
But it could be, you know, just like you have respiratory issues.
Like
or whatever.
Saying the hurricane wasn't flooding. It was a hurricane. It was winds. Well, no, my house got flooded.
Right. Exactly. Right. But I don't know. I really haven't. Like those numbers never seem to make sense when people say these numbers are. And granted, it's gone way past. It's getting close to 90,000 in the country, which has blown past all those numbers anyway. But a doctor said, "Well, look, one thing you have to understand." He said it started where he was contacting other doctors because he just said, I don't think I've ever had a patient die from the flu. He said, we've always just heard these numbers and just assumed them to be true. So he started asking around other doctors, like, honestly, very few of them had either. And so he went out and did research on it. And what he found was the world, the CDC, the way that they measure that is really more of a guesstimate based on a very small sample size that they just extrapolated and basically padded on the high side. And it's basically an admission that, we fudged the numbers a little bit high. We guesstimated on the extremely high side so that people would take flu seriously and get flu vaccines, and hygiene would be a consideration. They were hoping it would help push people towards vaccines and things like that to make sure that they didn't get it and they weren't at risk if they did have the vaccine, instead of thinking they were, you know, untouchable. Now, full disclosure, I've never gotten a flu shot. I think maybe 1 year, but I've never gotten a flu shot, and I haven't had the flu a whole lot.
No, I always thought it was weird because they give you the flu so you get sick so you don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know.
So I never had.
What if I don't get sick at all? How about we go no sick?
Did you hear this, Del? John is an anti-vaxxer.
No, I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
So anyway, when I read through this article, he goes, the unintended consequences now, the CDC has created numbers that are not really all that accurate for the flu, that are really extraordinarily, even the science on it said coronavirus is 44 times more likely to kill you if you contract it based on the real numbers. And it just said basically the flu numbers that people work off of now, as because it does come from the CDC. I mean, it comes from a reputable, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. And he said the unintended consequence of being hyper aggressive with those numbers now to make sure that people were worried is that people are less worried about coronavirus relative to the flu numbers. And he's like, and the flu numbers aren't even accurate. So nice going, CDC. Way to go. Way to pump your numbers up high.
See, see, those guys in the government are right. Can't trust the CDC.
Yeah, deep state.
I can't trust the CDC. I can't. So you know, we know what CDC is, right?
What?
What are some other things that we never...
World Health Organization? The WHO?
Yeah.
I didn't. I guess I'd heard their name before, but what do I care? World Health. Oh, big deal. World Health. Who cares?
You guys,
I care about America Health Organization, the MHO.
Do you guys know why it's called COVID-19?
Because there's the 19th strain of it?
19th version of the coronavirus?
Nope. Because it's 2019.
Is that really it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's it. Because the other one was in 2002, we had one, and that was COVID-2.
Yeah, okay, because what had come out...
Coronavirus 2019 is COVID-19.
Which would... You know what, then? This makes sense. That would make sense, because you know what I had heard? You know what the internet told me? Well, it was conspiracy theorists. Excuse me, COVID-19. This is the 19th time we've had this. Wonder why we've never heard anything about number 17 or COVID-14 or COVID-12. Maybe it's because this is government funded and operated.
I was told it came from a lab in China. No, ma'am. It's because, as we just learned, it's from the year 2019.
Well, why is it COVID?
As we just learned from John, who thinks that's what it is.
Why is it COVID?
Because corona, vi for virus, D for disease. CO for corona.
Is that
VI
it?
For virus.
That sounds
D
legitimate.
Disease. D for disease. And then 19 is 2019.
Wait, is all that accurate? Or are we just giving out what we think?
Yes,
to be
the CDC, if you can trust them, is telling me that's where you get
that's exactly
COVID
what
from.
It is. Wow. That's what exactly what it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of information on this show today.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
We should pivot off of. We could pivot off of sports and just go straight to science, because we've already got a lot of science going on right now.
Sports is so intertwined with science now. For example, you know, we were just talking about Germany and their predilections. You know what happened to one German manager because he left his hotel to go get some toothpaste?
Is this Bundesliga?
Yeah. They're like, you can't manage on Saturday because you left quarantine to go get some toothpaste, so he's banned from managing for his upcoming match.
Nine!
They're like, sorry,
did they
bro.
Just scream out nine at him?
I don't think so. Oh. I think they told him, you broke quarantine, so you can't manage this weekend. All that sounds like really bad
stuff.
It's
a German man screaming, Dell.
It sounds awful. I know.
I know it does. Anything that even remotely sounds like a German man who would be with a guttural scream is like, oh, I'm think you're allowed to do that. I don't think German people are allowed to scream.
You could be
out
for me strudel, but it sounds like something really bad.
What's that? Don't do that. Excuse me? Excuse me?
What did you say?
What did you say?
Why do you want to kill me?
Like a delicious strudel. It didn't sound like that, sir.
Strudel sounded like panzer to me. So.
Yeah. All right. 7-1-3-7-8-0.
So now he's out. Well, you know what?
He left quarantine.
You know what? Swish some water in your mouth, you know, or ask the people downstairs, excuse me, could you have someone bring some mouthwash up to room 364? Thank you.
How would he say it, though?
Wasn't that I wanted in one Babel Highlands?
Nope. Don't ever raise your voice in that language.
See? It's just me making up German words that aren't even real, and it sounds horrific.
It does.
It sounds. Oh, just awful.
We all know what it sounds like.
It does. And then the person on the other side, yes, sir. Oh, okay, cool.
We will get your mouthwash to you as soon as possible, Sal. Please do not say those things to us. You know they are not allowed in the country anymore.
Not in that tone, they're not.
Yes.
I'm a little uncomfortable with all this.
Please do not raise
your voice. Okay, so what if the Chinese basketball league needed if the coach from the Chinese basketball
what
league?
What time?
Needed,
oh,
looks like it's time for a break.
Look at this, 7:28, John.
Yeah, man, I really would like Lance to talk about Gulf Coast Chevy in English in a calm voice,
not screaming in fake German.
Yes.
So, Craig DeCerf, probably Nordic or Swedish, I'm guessing. DeCerf, if you look at the way his name is spelled and pronounced. He's not tall like a Nordic man, necessarily, but he's yoked like one. Former bodybuilder back in the day. He's got some great stories from back in the mid-90s Houston era. You guys should ask him. If you ever get down to a Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton, ask directly for Craig DeCerf. He's one of the most fun people you'll ever run into. He's got some amazing stories. And he's also got some amazing offers on vehicles right now. So production has been halted with these car companies, right? I don't even know if you realize this or not. So if you need a vehicle, you know, you might want to be looking right now for brand new pickup trucks. And I'll tell you why. It's a perfect storm for you. 0% financing for up to 84 months or no payments for 120 days for well-qualified buyers. These are the options that are offered to you during these extreme economic times. And they've got that for you at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. You can see all the vehicles they have in stock right there online, and you can do the entire car buying experience online in a touch-free delivery right to your doorstep. And here's the thing about Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Even when it's not a quarantine, they were still delivering vehicles to Houston because they're in Angleton and they will do whatever it takes to make you happy. And the experience is second to none. I took my vehicle in for collision repair and I know I'm going to get it back in great shape, very efficiently, very quickly, and it's going to be done the right way for the right price. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Couple NFL stories. A real nice, heartwarming, maybe an after-school special. Giants defensive back DeAndre Baker and Seahawks defensive back Quentin Dunbar are wanted for armed robbery. Apparently, on May 13th, which was just the other day, 2 days ago, Thursday, TMZ Sports reported the two players were partying at a cookout. Baker presented a firearm following an argument. From there, the two players began robbing jewelry, cash, and other items. Even worse, Baker reportedly told the third unnamed suspect to shoot somebody at the party.
God almighty.
Luckily for everyone involved, that person didn't follow Baker's instructions. Law enforcement says the men made out with more than $7,000 in cash, along with several valuable watches, including an $18,000 Rolex, a $25,000 Hublot, and a pricey Audemars Piguet. I don't know. I don't know what that is. It's too expensive for me to understand.
I know what it is because Zadok Jeweler would always talk about it in their commercials.
What is
with
it?
Us. Well, I've heard it. I'm not looking it up. But I've
Audemars Piguet?
Yeah, I've heard it enough on our Zadok Jeweler stuff. That I at least know what the reference is.
Okay. The Giants said in a statement they've been in contact with Baker and won't be adding any further comments about the matter. TMZ noted conflicting stories regarding possible motives. One source said the players lost considerable amounts of money gambling, while some reportedly told police they believed it was a planned hit. And then Ralph Vacciano, he said this. The arrest warrant for Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker from Miramar PD is for 4 counts of armed robbery and 4 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. He's being accused of 4 robberies, apparently, at 2 different parties last night. One witness said he met Baker in Dunmar at another party a few days earlier where the two men lost about $70,000.
God, how stupid. I mean, I swear, you just shouldn't be in the league. The league's just not for you. And it sounds like society's not for you.
No,
armed robbery and threatening, ordering someone to kill someone else at the party?
Did they not move to the head of the list of most likely to be do prison time?
I guess. Yeah.
No.
I heard some stories about DeAndre Baker's combine interviews. I was telling Dell some of them where, first of all, let's just say his combine prep wasn't great. Working out was very optional for him, where most guys really get into it. He wasn't really sure that was something that needed to be done. And then he just had some interesting combine interviews where he's just like, well, I don't need a workout, but if you don't draft me, I'm going to bleep you up. So I thought he meant on the field, but who knows?
No, he might have meant it might get my
yeah, it might have been
piece.
Something else.
Look, Lance, I asked you a question before. Maybe you've asked someone else and got the answer. Do we know which one played the boundary and which one played the field in this robbery?
Yeah, I'm not sure who the boundary side corner was. Presumably, the boundary corner is the one tightest. So it was boundary side was probably DeAndre Baker because he needed to be in the mix with everything since he was doing the ordering around, it sounds like. So I'm guessing Quentin Dunbar was field side because he was the one outside on the perimeter.
And the guy they asked to shoot someone must have been the slot corner, right?
Oh, yeah, it's the nickel.
Yeah. Huh.
Because he's inside the group.
Yeah, and he was
big. You're not asking somebody to shoot somebody from the field side.
No. No, the accuracy might be a problem there. Yeah.
So.
Shout out to Dunbar and Baker. Cornerbacks combining. For armed robbery.
Yeah, right. From different teams. It's
right.
Good to see you keeping
teams.
Inside
that's
the
working
position.
In unison. Yeah. Okay. That's guys in the league working together to get things
keep
done.
Keep it inside the position grouping.
Yeah. Well,
Giants needs cornerback.
And also keeping it inside the division. A Giant and a Redskin working together?
No, I thought he was a Seahawk.
He was a former Redskin, Quentin Dunbar. Both from Miami, so that's where the connection
is. Oh,
that's
the connection.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well,
Miami.
There you
of
go.
Neither one, neither one went to the University of Miami, yeah, so clearly we saw through them. We saw who they were and decided.
Kirby Smart's immediately like, get him off the website.
Yeah.
Scrub him.
Hey, you know that thing we do in our facility where we say all the players that went to the league?
Yeah.
Take D. Baker off the list.
Get him out of there.
So now, I mean, this is the era of snitching, isn't it?
If somebody robs you, is that snitching when
No. I'm moving on.
Oh, okay.
James Harrison. Okay, so here he is on the Going Deep podcast, Barstool Sports. Mm-hmm. And listen to the story he tells.
Is that with Willie Colon?
It.
I bet it is. Former teammates.
Dr. Kent, I don't know. Yeah, it might be Willie Colon. Okay, so, here he is talking about the hit that he put on Massaquoi. This was back in, what year was it?
Mohamed Massaquoi, wide receiver, right?
Yeah, from the Browns. Uh-huh. This hit was back in 2010.
Yep.
The most you've ever been fined in one game?
One game was 75.
Ooh, is that the Massaquoi hit?
Yeah. Dude, how you going to find me setting for the, dude, oh, listen. Listen, everything I love on my daddy's grave, I hit that man with about max 50% of what I had, and I just hit him because I wanted him to let loose of the ball. If I had knew they was going to find me 75,000, I would have tried to kill him. Dude, I'm telling you.
Right.
75?
And people
start. And I ain't going to lie to you. But that happened, right? And the G's thing Mike Tomlin ever did, he handed me an envelope after that. I ain't gonna say what, but he handed me an envelope after.
So
what Mike Tomlin's like, excuse me.
Well,
why
one
are
of
you telling people about the envelope?
Yeah, one of the Rooneys, I forget which one, is still alive.
But Art
one
Rooney the second.
Which one?
Art Rooney the second.
Art Rooney the second. He says, that's BS. I don't believe a word of it. And now, Tomlin hasn't said anything yet. But Sean Payton chimed in. Don't hold your breath waiting for the league to investigate this one. Even though Sean Payton sat a year. Even though that you know the Saints got all of those sanctions for Bountygate. Don't hold your breath. Nothing's going to happen. The commissioner likes the Rooneys. He don't like us too much. And I can, you know what? Everything has changed now. You know what? Whatevs. Now, we were talking about this yesterday. Whatevs. Oh, it's so Zion took an envelope. Oh, so Zion's parents got a house. Oh, well, whatevs. You know what? Oh, James Harrison says he got an envelope from Mike Tomlin. Oh, well. Well, what? Okay.
The league is not going to – that's why James Harris needs to not say that stuff. Although I did find it interesting, and I do think it adds some some clout from other players to Mike Tomlin, that Tomlin had their back like that. But like you said, that's done in private. The league's not going to be happy with Mike Tomlin. What's done in private – but James Harrison's always a bit of a wild card. I remember asking my dad about the Steelers locker room. He said, we had a good locker room. High football character. He said, now, I will say that you could tell that if James Harrison, like Steelers had a good locker room with a lot of, you know, high football character alphas and stuff like that. And he said, you could tell that James, if he was in a different locker room, in different situations, it might, you know, not that he was a bad character guy, but he was a guy that got out over his skis a little bit. Like he could lose a little control from time to time. So if he wasn't in the right locker room, it might not make a lot of sense for James Harrison, because he's that guy that had some extra edge. But he thought their locker room was fantastic in Pittsburgh.
Well, sure, they're getting paid. I always thought guys, you know, fines that the teams. You know, when guys don't show up, they always forgive it. When guys don't show up for training camp, they always forgive the fines. Oh, come on back in. We worked out a deal. Come on. Don't worry about that stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if teams don't pay give guys here's something. Do you know what? That fine, we don't deserve it. Or, man, big hit, nice hit, whatever. I don't find that nearly as egregious. And I didn't find Bountygate. Oh, well, so he put a bounty. So what? You know what? The bounties have been going on, and you ask NFL players, bounties have been going on forever in the game. It's like the Astros with this cheating thing. Oh, it's the worst thing. No, it's been going on. It's been going on, and the guys have been cheating forever. And you know what? Bounties have been going on forever, but we got to, you know what? The Saints, you got to suspend everybody, and everybody's got to, and nobody can ever work again because what? Because why? Because we caught you. But bounties have been, you ask old NFL players, oh, yeah. We used to put money into the pool. You take out the quarterback, you get the pot.
Yeah.
That's happened all the time.
I don't think the league wants that, though.
No, the league doesn't want
that. No, the league doesn't want that. With CTE, I don't think the league wants
No. The league can't have that. You got to put a stop to that.
You got to put a stop to it. It's got to be eliminated. It can't be talked about. Yeah. You need to,
when something costs you a billion, you got to stop that.
Yeah, you need to go completely away.
Yeah. No question. All right, 713-780-3776. Short breaks here. Short breaks. So don't you go anywhere. You're listening to the ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We talked a little bit about it, Lance, with Blake Snell yesterday. Oh, he had to go get his laptop. So we talked a little bit about it yesterday. I didn't realize that the vitriol would be as... Well, I mean, what he said was kind of, you know, he's so little self-awareness or awareness about what's going on around him here. And we touched on it yesterday, but I didn't realize, I mean, there are people out there that are pissed. Now, Bryce Harper, hey, my man speaks the truth. Bryce, shut the bleep up. You have... How many hundreds of millions of dollars did you sign for? Shut up. And somebody else was behind him as well. Said, yeah, Blake Snell. Trevor Bauer. Yeah, he's right. Oh, shut up, Trevor Bauer. My goodness. Anyway, Blake Snell is catching it. He's catching out. You know, major leaguers maybe, yeah, we got to play for half our salary because we're going to play. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to go out there for that $8 million. It's just not worth it to me.
You're just speaking from a place of, like, I'm pro player. I mean, get yours, get your bag, whatever. But you're speaking from a place where no one wants to hear this. No one wants to hear you talk about how it hurts. It's not fair. It's not worth it. When everyone could just respond with, how much are you getting paid to play baseball again?
Yeah. And here's the thing is, we're risking our lives for – but he broke it down. He basically thinks he's going to make about $1.75 million this year on a $16 million contract, which is – after, and then I got to pay taxes.
Did you just read it or did you hear it?
I read it.
Oh, no.
He whines like a little biz. I heard some of it.
You got to hear the whole thing.
We can play. But here's the deal. If you're in the medical profession, you're risking your life. What about these nurses? Blake Snell, shut the F up. I'm risking my life because everybody's going to sanitize everything for me, and I'm going to be treated, pampered like a little baby, and treated and make sure that no one comes near me.
Wait a minute. You don't want to compare him to doctors and nurses. He's not doing that.
Exactly.
Well, he's saying he's risking his life.
No, he's not. Okay, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, he's not. But he's also saying, why do that? Why do it? Then don't get paid. If Blake Snell doesn't want to get, that's just too bad for Tampa. That's too bad for Tampa fans. That's too bad for Tampa. And when he asked to get his money, I'm sorry, bro. You can't get your money, bro.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know if you know it.
He says,
we're
bro,
playing
80,
we're going to play 82 games and you're not going to play. So you're not going to get your salary.
Blake Snell is operating not away from reality because it hasn't been proposed. Like the momentum hasn't been, okay, by the way, Blake, we're going to play. If it comes down where they figure out the money and the PA and MLB agree and the sanitizing, all the stuff that makes something like this happen, Blake Snell ain't gonna walk away from his money. Even if it's agreed upon by both sides, Blake Snell's gonna be there and probably the opening day starter. He's not cut off. He's talking from a point where it isn't real life yet.
Yes, you're exactly right, because when it comes time to his real money, and it's really watch how quick he flips. Did you tell John that people kept receipts on him already?
Yeah, it's on the rundown. Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you earlier, I think it was March, where a lot of us were like, "Hey, no coronavirus, whatever."
Blake, you weren't like that.
No,
what
I mean
a lot of us,
but some people were. Some people were, and Blake Snell was one of them. Let me correct myself. March 11th. Blake Snell appreciates the precautions, but says too much is being made of coronavirus. And if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. So certainly when this first became news, at least real big news, he wasn't one to say, this is a huge deal. I'm putting my life at risk. It was more whatever. But I can say months later that maybe he has a differing opinion because, well, he's been more informed. But at least 2 months ago, he was like, "Eh, coronavirus, Simone, whatever."
Well, and he's a little bitch, by the way. After he didn't win the Cy, it was like, what a bitch. And then with the Astros thing, what a bitch. I'm telling you. I've had Blake
had enough
Snell
of him.
He's the new Trevor Bauer. He's the new, look at me, and I'm a little whiny.
Do you see
bitch.
What's happening, bro? I'm risking my life. Wait till you hear the sound of it. He's on a Twitch stream playing a video game, MLB The Show, and he's telling everybody, it's not even worth me playing. They're going to take – I'm only getting half of my money.
Of he's a whine. He's
oh,
a
but
whine.
I want the listeners to hear it. He's like, bro, why am I even going to play, bro?
And
get half my money, bro, and then they tax it too, bro.
And on top of everything, he looks like Nick Wright.
A little.
No,
well,
he does.
Nick
they,
got
there was
new
a
hair.
Picture of him next to Nick Wright yesterday.
Excuse me. Have you not seen Nick's new hair?
I haven't seen. No,
yeah,
haven't seen,
Nick's got new hair. Nick it's not.
Years,
yeah, it's,
but he looks like Nick Wright. And there's nothing wrong with looking like Nick Wright. If you want to look like Nick Wright, that's fine. I don't care.
I don't. If you want to,
you think people are designing looks to look like Nick Wright?
What do you mean?
If you want to look like
characters
Nick Wright?
For your avatar?
You think that's what Blake Snell said.
Give me the Nick Wright face.
Yeah. Hey, God. I want the Nick
I'm
Wright
not
face.
Taking that one. Okay, but that's just me. I'm not going to go with that. You know, particularly that nose style. But if that's you, that's what you want, then that's fine. I'm not going to hold it against you.
All right, so you have to listen to Blake Snell. For all you listeners, you've heard what we're talking about. Now, imagine he's got big headphones on. He's in the middle of a Twitch stream. He's reading comments to him about playing baseball, which starts this. This is what we had warned about from the very beginning. You have to be careful about being a complaining athlete in the midst of almost 30% unemployment and a recession that has a decent chance of turning into a depression. This is what you don't want to do. Sit on video games on a Twitch stream and do this.
In your video game room, where people say from the height of privilege,
yeah,
talk about
exactly.
Why you don't want to play baseball.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making shit. And on top of that, so all that money's gone.
Oh.
And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Good. Don't play. No one gives a rat's ass if you play, Blake.
Look,
somebody else will come up and somebody else will pitch for the Rays. And you know what? It'll be like, oh, Blake Snell wasn't there. Ooh, how can I watch baseball again? Because Blake bitch Snell wasn't there.
Now, if you're a Rays fan, you're not going to be super excited that your ace is gone. What if Justin Verlander said it? What if Verlander said it? What would you say?
You know what?
I got to get all my money. No, I'm risking my life. What if Justin Verlander? I'm risking my life. No, hold on. Pause the game.
Hey, pause it. The numbers, he's reciting. I get all that, but those are conversations.
His math isn't great, by the way.
Yeah. The conversation, that's the conversation you have with your player rep. Have that conversation online where people can pull it and pick and listen to you talk about it. That's the conversation you have in the meetings when you're talking with the owners.
All these are these are conversations that are not going to be met with. They're going to come off as highly privileged conversations, and privilege is a bad word now. And if you are that, you're not good, and that's what he is. He's not good. Because that's what you're right. I mean, he's sitting there complaining about how much, like, why am I? And then to say you're risking your life. No, I would say I understand the idea that you're going to be in a group of more than 10 or whatever the case may be. I get all that. I think there's going to be extraordinary processes in place to make sure that you are healthy, obviously. Much more so than even doctors and nurses and anyone else who's working. Delivery people, Amazon drivers, post office workers, you're going to be in a safer scenario than they are. Restaurant workers. So it really is such an extraordinarily bad look for any athletes. And it was happening earlier, but now that more and more people are losing their jobs, we've had friends who have lost their jobs. The jobless rate is continuing to climb. 38 million people filed for unemployment. Man, the tone deaf nature is exactly what you would expect from athletes who don't really have a grip on reality. And if he has enough money socked away, which, you know, I don't know if he does or not, but if he has enough money socked away, and he said later on, he says, in my mind, I'm already playing for next year. And he goes, well, but I'm getting ready for this year, like it's this year. But in my mind, I'm really getting ready for next year because it's just such a weird situation going on here. He basically let it out of the bag that he doesn't want to play this year. He's out this year mentally. And I think that's a big part of what it is. Blake Snell's out on this year. He's not playing.
My doctor buddy just texted me. Hey, John, I was just listening on the way to the hospital. My partners did a C-section on a COVID-positive patient last night for free because they were on call for emergency. Now, that's risking your life, not what Blake Snell is doing, bitch. Honestly, from now on, he's Blake the bitch.
I just saw Mr. Cal walk by. Be quiet.
Now, here's the real question that's got to be answered. And Childish Altuve, he asks the tough questions, okay? Art always asks the tough questions. Is Blake Snell white? Chris says, oh, Blake Snell is one of those white guys.
I think he's
biracial. Why does Blake Snell sound like Paul Pierce?
Does he sound like Paul Pierce?
He kind of did a little bit.
From what I can tell, he appears like a white man.
I think he might be biracial. White,
but I don't. Why would he be? He doesn't look biracial.
He doesn't.
No, he
is
looks
he from Florida?
He looks like a white guy who goes to black barbershops.
Oh, is he from Florida? Then there's an armed robbery. Say that again, Dell.
He's from Seattle, Washington. He looks like a white guy who goes to black barbershops.
Now, that's the most accurate description. If you've never seen Blake Snell, you would say yes. At one point, what did Nick Wright look like?
Same thing.
Yeah.
He definitely, I don't know if he does it all the time now, but he definitely goes to black barbershops to get haircuts. That is something he has frequently done.
You know what? He could have a mixture, although he does. There's some pictures of him where he's pasty. Yeah, he's a white guy.
You think so?
Yep.
Look, I'm looking at a haircut right now where he has the two lines on the side, the two parts on the side.
What? That doesn't sound like white guy haircut unless we're talking Vanilla Ice.
I'm just
back
saying.
Back in the day.
Like, there are times when Blake Snell's hair is short where he's got the clean edge up. It is. Well, and other times his hair is longer, but he definitely has.
You can get that at Supercuts.
Not so much. He definitely has probably ventured into multiple black barbershops to get haircuts before.
No, he's definitely a white guy.
Yeah, he's just a white guy who goes to black barbershops.
Yeah.
We know this guy.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of. It's not like a.
And all the guys, what do all the guys in the barber shop look at when he walks in, Del? How they act?
It depends. It really depends on how Blake Snell acts. It really depends.
Yeah, and if he's been in that barber shop a few times,
probably knows better. Mm-hmm. He's probably well accepted.
You think?
If he is venturing into that barbershop multiple times, he knows. He knows, and they know him.
Yeah. He just like John. Yeah. If you went in and said, "Give me an edge up." I just want, we just need to do that.
With all the hair he has now, he should.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just tell him you want a high top fade and just see what they say.
Listen, I'm looking for mine still ain't open. I'm still shaggy. I need a cut. I need to get edged up, Del. What am I going to do?
I would ask that you not use that term. It makes me uncomfortable, honestly, when you say edge up.
Tori Andrews just said they are not claiming Blake Snell.
I didn't say you should.
Blake's not on the ticket.
Who? Tori Andrews is a black guy?
Yeah.
I'm not claiming him either. I'm just saying.
Tori's like he's not on
the
he's
racial
not
draft.
In the,
nobody wants Blake Snell now in the racial draft.
No, we're not claiming him. Black people don't want him. White people don't want him, clearly, because John calls him Blake the bitch. But all I'm saying
John
is.
John does not speak for the coalition.
Are
by
you
the way.
Claiming him?
Oh, sorry,
no, I'm not claiming him.
All I'm saying.
I'm claiming Justin Verlander, who gives masks away for free.
The man.
Yeah. Not the Twitch stream guy.
The man.
Right.
The man.
I'm claiming Alex Bregman.
Stepped up? Alex Bregman's a card carrying white guy.
Yeah. All right, 801. We got to take a break. ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.